Thank the Lord for our teachers. Thank the Lord for our children. Amen. I bumped into some material today while in my office, and I found a, I don't know what you would call it. I'm just going to call it a book. And the title of this book is, it's a workbook for pastors, and the title of it is A Sound Bible Doctrine. And it's a general overview of the fundamental doctrines, Bible doctrines, in the Word of God. And it was written by Stan Davidson. I was perusing through it today, and Brother Davidson has done an excellent job in putting this together. And so I thought that maybe not every Tuesday night, but that it would be a good thing to do a little travel through the doctrine of the Word of God, understanding as we as apostolics do how important that the doctrine is, then we need to place it in our hearts and more intentionally in our spirits. And so we throughout the next few months, weeks or so, we're going to implement some of this stuff. It's all truth, and it's all doctrine, and doctrine is vital. And so tonight, we're going to discuss lesson number one, the importance of doctrine. The importance of doctrine. And most any apostolic pastor could take the time and put a conglomerate of scriptures together to prove how important the doctrine is. But since Brother Stan Davidson did it for me, I'm going to take advantage of it tonight. And not because there was nothing else to teach and that I was short on time, but because it just really jumped out at me. I believe that this is just another phase of preparing for what God wants to do for us in the future. Do you know, as an apostolic in this church, do you know what you would say to an individual if they were to ask you, what is your doctrine? And why do you feel it's so important? And if the answer is, I'm not real sure what I would say, then we're right on time, aren't we? So that's the way God operates. Okay. And so let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16. Why don't you read this out loud with me? It's Bible study time. Let's just do this. All right, out loud. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Man, did that not say it in a nutshell? So, why don't you put and take a pen or pencil, whatever, and write this scripture in the corner of that blank page at the beginning of your Bible. And the reason I say that is because if someone asked you, why is doctrine important? Doctrine, basically, ladies and gentlemen, is another term for scripture. Why is your scripture, why is your doctrine so vital and important? And there's the answer, 2 Timothy 3:16. Because it says a couple of the scriptures that were given, two-thirds of the scripture in the Bible were given by inspiration of God. How much? Everybody say it. All. All right. God bless you, Lord. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the Bible says all scripture. And so if that be true, then let us understand that all of the Word of God, all of the Bible is very vital and very, very important. Praise God. There was a time, and it wasn't very long ago, that I got to a point of just solid aggravation. Because this title for doctrine or a religion, that title for a religion, and on it goes. And to me, what rang out of different forms of religion is not what they believe, because if they believe anything that's true in the Scripture, then there's nothing wrong with that. But it's like, we're so-and-so church. This is the part of the Bible we don't believe. We're First Church of this and that and some other stuff. And this is the part of the Bible that we don't believe. Am I right? It is the truth. And it gets a little aggravating. I know that God has to get a little agitated every now and then. And he probably goes to that other creation on vacation. I don't know. I would have to. Amen. Because it's true. It's not, it doesn't matter what your title is, but what gets under the skin is, it's almost like this group is getting together over here and they don't believe in what the Methodist is teaching, and the Baptists are getting together over here and they don't believe what the Presbyterians are teaching, and because Presbyterians don't believe in this portion, the Baptists don't believe in that portion, and the Methodists don't believe. We need somebody to let these folks know, you've got to believe all of it. All of it. And in believing it, the most important thing is that you've got to learn how to rightly divide the Word of God. Rightly divide the Word of God. And so we're going to talk a little bit about doctrine for a little while tonight. Amen. Obedience to the doctrines of the Bible is essential to salvation. And that's the first thing I wanted to say in this Bible study, because it's so true. Doctrine is essential to salvation. You cannot be saved without a Bible-based, without the Bible-based doctrine. Amen. Ignorance of the truth is no excuse. Each individual is responsible for seeking out the truths expounded in the Word of God, which is the Word, of course, the Word of God, the Scripture, Bible verses, all of these that are very paramount and important. Listen, let me give you a key verse, another key verse, and that is where it says, all Scripture is given. What was it given for? What was all the Scripture given for? So that we could decide whether we liked some of it or not. Or like I mentioned a few services back, that we can look at it like a buffet and say, well, I like this, but I don't like that. I want this, but I'm not going to take that. And we're all going to heaven anyway because we worship the same God. Well, that is a doctrine that was sown by the devil. And there are millions of people that have adopted it and live according to it. The devil is very careful in that he will give people part truth. But then there's the other part that is a lie, and that's where people will be lost. Amen. And so we need to understand that about him. It is true. We all do worship the same God, I hope. That we all do believe that Jesus Christ is Savior. We're not talking about the part you do believe. We're trying to get you convinced about the part you don't believe. Right? And that's the part that's going to hang a lot of people up. All right? I'm just simply saying, denominational Christians have often said that Oneness Pentecostals people, they place too much emphasis on the doctrine. Some are of the opinion that one should not allow doctrinal issues to cause disunity within the body of Christ. Well, how can it be the body of Christ if it's not His doctrine? And how can it be the whole body of Christ if we don't believe in some of His doctrine? And how can He be alive and real to us if we don't believe it's important? In reality, you can't identify the body of Jesus Christ without the aid of the doctrine. You're not even going to know who He is without doctrine. There's no organization or local assembly whose members can claim to be the only arm of God in this world, but it is a scriptural fact that the truth is essential if somebody is going to please God. A person has to obey the truth if he plans to go to heaven. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, "If you continue in My word." Look at John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Amen. John 8, 31, 32. Jesus said, I'm talking about the ones that believe on Him. Now, there is a doctrine in this world, and you know it, that there are those that believe that all you've got to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're saved. Now, listen to what Jesus said Himself. Are you ready for this? He said to the Jews which believed on Him. So they believe on Him, right? Then Jesus said, "If you continue in My word," not if you continue believing on Me, but if you continue in My word, "then are you My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Amen. It is the truth of God's word that is going to make us free, not just the fact that we believe in Jesus. This is so important. Amen. And so, is doctrine important? The Bible can answer this question better than I can. And the word of the Lord says, well, ask yourself tonight, what is doctrine? What is doctrine? As we mentioned before, doctrine is another word for Scripture or the Word of God. But doctrine is also the law. Doctrine is the law. And if you don't want to make heaven your home, then break the law. But if you do want to make heaven your home, then be obedient to the law. We have a law in America, am I right? There's things that you can do right now, and if you're caught, you can be incarcerated. If it's very serious, if you broke the law really bad, then you could be placed in prison. If you break the law really bad, you can be placed in prison for life and never get parole. If you break the law really bad, they can take your life. I'm just saying, I feel that it's so vital that we understand the laws of God. That we understand the laws of God so that we don't break it so severely that our lives are taken, or yet should I say our eternity is taken away from us. Can you say amen? Praise God. Praise God. So when reading Psalms 19 and 7, you find out that the law of the Lord is capable of converting the soul. From the original text, the word for law is can also be translated as doctrine. And restoring. Amen. One could say the doctrine of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. Therefore, doctrine is the same as the law. Proverbs 4 and 2 proves this point. In this verse, doctrine is used interchangeably with the law. So, the doctrine of God is the law of God. Another reason why we need to comprehend, understand, study, and show ourselves approved in the Word of God. Not just so we can quote it to people, not just so we can witness to people, but so that we will be saved. Amen. Praise God. Now, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53 and verse 1, the writer asked a question. He said, "Who hath believed our report?" Who has believed our report? Once again, from the original text, report is translated into doctrine. The report that Jesus gave us was his doctrine. The report that the apostles gave us is his doctrine. Amen. It is associated here with the arm of the Lord. Amen. We know that Jesus didn't sit down at a real right hand of God, because God didn't have a real right hand except for the right hand of Jesus. And so what Jesus set down was the strong arm of God, which is his doctrine, his truth, his word. Amen. That is his strength. And it will be our strength if we take the time to nourish ourselves with it and to keep it and to constantly pull it into our spirits. Folks, I should never have to beg anybody to read the Word of God. Because if you don't, you're going to be lost. You say, why? Because you're not learning the law. If you don't know the law, you can't apply the law. You can't apply the law, you can't live by the law. And if you can't live by the law, you're going to break the law. Right? So would it be fair for me to say those that have no desire and will not read the Word of God are rebellious? And rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. If you don't take this serious, if I don't take this seriously, then we're going to sow seeds that are contrary to the Scripture. We may bring somebody with us to church, but ultimately they won't be saved because we don't know how to disciple them. We don't know how to nurture them. We don't know what to put into them. We don't have anything to put into them. If the laws of God are not in us, how are we ever going to get them into someone else? And so that's where the doctrine becomes so paramount and profound. Amen. All right. Look at Jesus' teaching according to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 28. The teachings of Jesus are doctrine. According to Luke chapter 4 and verse 32, further emphasizes this point by declaring that Jesus' words are doctrine. So his words are vital, his words are important, and his words are necessary. Look at the apostles' teaching. There's a few people would debate the point that the words of Jesus are of doctrinal importance. There's just few people that would argue that. However, look at something else here. They saying that the writings of the apostles are doctrine, doctrine causes some scholars to shake their heads. They'll believe what Jesus said because it's in red, but they won't believe what the apostles said because it's in black, or because they are just men. But these men are only repeating what they were taught by the Messiah himself. Somebody shout Jesus. Praise God. First-hand Bible study from Jesus. Man, what a pastor. First-hand Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm announcing Brother Matthew is going to come and preach us a three-night revival. Honey, would I be here? Hello? Who was his mentor? Yet there are scholars. Yet there are churches, pastors, that could give a hill of beans for anything Matthew has to say. or anything Simon Peter has to say. Care less. When we need to understand that the apostles' doctrine is Jesus' doctrine, and we need that doctrine to be born again and to be saved. Right? Amen. Look at the Word of God, 2 Timothy 4:2. 2 Timothy 4:2 claims that the Word of God is doctrine. Paul also states in 2 Timothy 3:16, again, all Scripture is given for doctrine. Amen. To say that doctrine is not important is to say that the Word of God is not important. Simply put. Amen. Somebody shout truth. Reading 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4, reveals to the reader, of course, that doctrine is true. Verse 3 says that they will not endure sound doctrine. Would you put that up, brother? Chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. Amen. Verse 3 is where I'd like to see. For the time will come when they will not endure sound. Somebody explain to me what sound doctrine is. What? Truth? Yeah. Amen. Sound doctrine is not a doctrine that makes a sound. Sound doctrine is truth with a solid foundation. And if there's a foundation out there that's solid, we need to find it in this generation, and that's where we need to build upon. Praise God, because we are living in that very time that Timothy prophesied. The time will come. So we can now read that scripture and say, the time has come when they are not enduring sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they're heaping to themselves teachers having itching ears, teachers that desire to please them, and teachers with ears that have to be scratched. Oh, that was awesome. Oh, you didn't hurt anybody's feelings. Oh, you didn't step on anybody's toes. Oh, we're all going to hell together. Oh. Do you understand what I'm saying? Doctrine is first, and doctrine is foremost. I love to hear a good preacher. I love to hear revelations come out of the preaching and the teaching sometimes. But what we need to understand is, if someone just plainly stands up here flat-footed and shares with you his doctrine, it ought to make us stand to our feet every now and then. Ought to make us clap our hands every now and then. Because I'm telling you, not every church and not every individual that says they go to church and not every individual that calls themselves a child of God understands even a tenth of the doctrine. That's sad. And I'm just telling you, we need to become a force that will do something about that. Not just sit here proud that we know, but sit here burdened because they don't know. Amen? Praise God. All right, everybody shout the gospel. Praise the Lord. The gospel. An inspection of 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 11 reveals precious truths about doctrine. Verse 3 admonishes Timothy to charge the elders that they teach no other doctrine. No other doctrine. Paul continues in verse 5 by referring to the end of the commandment. To which commandment is he referring? The doctrine that is spoken of in the previous verse. Therefore, doctrine is the commandment of God. Verse 10 of the same selection speaks of things contrary to sound doctrine. The same concept is referred to as the gospel in the next verse. Verse 11, the gospel is doctrine. Can anyone be saved without the gospel? We're nearly done. Why don't we look at it? 1 Timothy 1, verses 1 through 11. It is Bible study, so let me give you some Bible. Praise God. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by what? I'm telling you, listen, Pentecostals. Listen, Baptists. Listen, Methodists, Lutherans, Catholics. Listen, Paul is an apostle by the commandment of Jesus Christ. So you would do good to hear what Paul has to say. Am I right? And Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith that is unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. In other words, simply don't even know what they're talking about. But we know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully. In other words, use it lawfully. Don't use it as some kind of secondary option. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. I guess the doctrine's pretty much for everybody, huh? According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Again, doctrine and gospel being placed together simultaneously. Amen. Praise God. And so, let me ask you once again, is doctrine important? Amen. Somebody, and I understand the emotions, and I understand the feelings. You know, how many of you remember me mentioning just the other service? I don't remember how soon. It might have been last service that I have preached someone's last sermon, or I have preached for someone the last time, or prayed for someone the last time they've ever been prayed for. Little did I know, while I was making that statement, they were having the funeral of a man that I had just prayed for. I just prayed for him. When I went to pray for him, he inspired me. He was a good man. He was a good man. He was owner of, what is that, tractor, Sink Farm Tractor, that supply place on 64 going toward Moxville. And I went and prayed for Clyde. And I don't know, it must have been the next day and I didn't know it. And he passed away. And while I was speaking, he was already in the ground. He was already in the ground. And you look at, we want to reason this stuff. And there's men all through the scripture that try to reason with God and change God's mind about stuff. And you know, like the net that came down with Simon Peter, and all kind of junk was in it, creatures and creeping things. And the Lord said, slay it, in other words, kill it, and eat it. I think Simon came back on God three times about that before he would do that. Am I right? He said, Lord, no, my lips have never touched any unclean thing. My hands, our forefathers, all the Jews that I've ever known, never heard about, never read about, they've never eaten anything like that. And so I can't. But you see, who's talking to him? Help me. God. We do what God says do, and let everybody else do whatever they got to do and fall into the hands of the Lord. What I'm getting at, ladies and gentlemen, we come into the church. We hear the repentance thing. We hear the baptism thing. And then there's an alarm that goes off. We hear how you got to have that Holy Ghost stuff. And you're going to speak in tongues when you get the Holy Ghost. And we hear about that holiness stuff. And alarms go off. And we want to say things, well, I'll have you to know I had a mama. Or I had a daddy. I had a grandmother. I had a grandfather. And you are not going to tell me, or nobody else is going to tell me, they're not in heaven. No, I wouldn't dare do that. You know what that is? That's none of my business. I'm going to let God be God. But I want to tell you something. You are not going to tell me they're in heaven either, if they didn't obey the word of God. Because you don't know. You don't know. Do you know how? The Bible says, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost right now. It's almost like an angel saying, you better say it plain, preacher, because somebody might not have another chance. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I feel it tonight. Praise God. What we have got to do is make ourselves responsible to the Word of God, and not what someone else done, or who they are, or where we think they are. It don't matter how much I believe against it, or how much you believe for it, or how much you believe against it, or how much I believe for it. Whatever, it just doesn't matter. Because whoever has left this world and has already gone on to eternity, they are where they are going to be forever, regardless of what I believe. I have no control over that. I cannot believe them out of hell into heaven. I cannot believe them out of heaven into hell. It don't matter what I believe. But one thing we cannot make the perilous mistake in doing is this. We cannot base our salvation on what someone else did when they didn't, when they were not obedient to the whole Word of God. Why would I want to mimic that? Why would I want to mock that? I'm going to place them in the hands of a righteous God, and then I am going to receive the doctrine and believe that for myself. They are already in eternity. I'm not. And if there's more that I can do to anchor that, secure that, and make that right, well then guess what? That's what I'm going to do. Right? Amen. Don't base your salvation on what others were or what they were not. Base your salvation on what the Word of God is right now and what you know right now. And let's let God lead us. Amen. Let's let God direct us. I have a doctrine that I have got to preach, and I will not sway from it because I love somebody so much, because I care for somebody so much. I cannot break that law because I have so much emotion for an individual. You say, well, if you tell them that, it's going to hurt their feelings and they're going to leave. You know what? We need to get to a point that our feelings are not near as valuable as the doctrine. Because I'm telling you right now, and you know, I'm fixing to hit the double nickel in my age, and 55, and that's still not a lot compared to some. But yet, even at 55, I've been through some things in life, physically, emotionally, spiritually. I've been through some failures, disappointments. I've been through sickness, major sickness. I've been through, and I'm only October 10, I'll be 55. Praise God. And so, that being said, how many of you would agree with me? There's enough hell on this earth that we don't need to go to hell. There is enough hell in this world. There's enough torment in this world. Why in God's name would I treat this doctrine so frivolously until it doesn't matter to me what my eternity is going to be? And so, ladies and gentlemen, I hope I have shown you tonight that doctrine is important. Let's stand. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Why don't we just take a moment and just take a little time? And I'm very serious. We can have music or we don't have to have music. Sister Marshburn can just join with us if she'd like. Amen. It's Tuesday night. This is the crowd that doesn't have to be cheerleaded. And so, but why don't we just lift our voices and together, personally, rejoice that we are where we are at this time right now in our lives, and that it is nothing but the bona fide grace and mercy and love of God that has placed us where we are right now. And let's give Him praise for that.